Welcome to the Kinky Cast, a sexually explicit podcast for adults. You are listening to a weekly publication produced every Friday morning. The Kinky Cast is heard in over 150 countries. This is our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Today, we present episode 272, the Body Positivity Panel. Don't forget to stop by our webpage for information about this show and others. KinkyCast.com. Here's your host, Autumn.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Tonight, we have a very special treat for you. We're going to be doing a body positivity panel. As always, my name is Autumn, coming to you from Tennessee, and it's a little bit fun down here. So we are actually going to do this based on an idea that Amok had. So I am actually going to let them speak a little bit about themselves and kick things off.
Hey, Autumn. Hey, everyone. This is Amok. Thank you for having me back. Always love it here. A couple of years ago, I did a body positivity panel at an event that was hosted here in Florida called Florida Power Exchange. Autumn was one of my amazing panelists, and I really thought it was a topic that we don't necessarily talk about as broadly as we really should within the community. So I brought together some people who were gender fluid, some people who were masculine or male, and some people who were feminine, and some people who were female, with a variety of different body styles to talk about their experience, because a lot of times the conversation is about female bodies or female identified bodies being small or being large, but there's such a broader range of topics that go into being body positive that I thought it was really, really important. There was also a mix of able-bodied and differently able-bodied individuals on the panel as well. So when Autumn suggested we do it as a podcast, I was super excited.
Oh, that's awesome. And thank you. Do you mind to tell us a little bit about like how you feel about body positivity?
It's taken me a long time to become very positive about my body. I grew up very active. I was active most of my adult life as well. But my body has fluctuated a lot. I was super short and beanpole thin all growing up. And then I got curvy and round and fluffy and honestly fat. That's a term that I can use for myself and I own, like it is my state of being. And so there was a lot of coming to terms with that, particularly because I love rope and I didn't see bodies that were familiar to mine or similar to mine that I could identify with. I am 5'2", about 230 pounds currently, but I'm also a circus performer, so I don't fit the mold most people think of anyway. And then in recent years, I've also had to come to terms with the fact that I've had some disabilities for a while, but I just found out recently that I have some other issues, some genetic issues that affect the way that my body behaves and my body works. And so that has also been part of my body positive journey, is finding a space where I can appreciate where my body is in regards to its health, its shape, its size, its bendability, on all of the different levels, not just the like visual appearance.
Awesome that you've been able to come to terms with it. I'm actually going to go ahead and let another panelist introduce themselves. Blaine, do you mind telling us a little bit about yourself and your journey with body positivity?
So I'm Blaine. I'm a 31-year-old femocenter trans boy that identifies really as a glitter fag. My body positivity journey has been, I think, maybe like typical of someone who realizes like later in life that they're transgendered. And that like I grew up and I, you know, as a child, was very active, like Amok, played a lot of sports. In my teenage years, I was like, oh, I'm a butch lesbian. And then began to kind of like, as I stopped being so active with sports in university, my body began to change in your 20s and you get those lovely childbearing years. So my hips and my breasts filled out and I began to like ignore my body pretty heavily in like my mid 20s. And I think as my gender journey started to evolve, I found myself getting into kink in 2012. And I saw so many different body types and people embracing their bodies and doing things with their bodies that I just thought, wow, like I want to be that free with my body and be that proud of my body to like put it out in front of people and do these crazy things. And then I realized that I could do that. And so really like my journey in kink and identity as a slut led me to kind of start falling in love with my physical form. And along the way, I'm like, okay, paying more attention to myself. And I'm like, wait a minute, maybe my gender is part of the reason I'm ignoring my body. Really looking kind of critically at who I am from a gender perspective and who I am as from an identity perspective. So yes, I want to be more masculine in my body, but me as a person, I love feminine things. I love makeup and I love fashion and I love shoes and things like that. And so it's been kind of an interesting journey, like getting to know those different sort of like intersections of all those different parts of who I am. And in the last few years, I think, you know, becoming like really falling in love with myself over and over again has been probably like the defining characteristic of myself. And I'm pretty happy to be here and talk with you guys. Also sound like you do the same thing for yourself. So it's cool. Hi, welcome.
Hi, welcome. We're glad to have you. And I really am glad that you went down that journey because quite frankly, you're an amazing person and I'm very glad we got you on the panel.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I'm actually going to introduce another panelist. So Sir Devious, if you could tell us a little about yourself and your journey with body positivity.
Hey, Autumn, I appreciate that. I'm Daniel, or Sir Devious, however you want to call me. It's been a weird journey for me with body positivity because I grew up on the West Coast in the 90s, where if you weren't athletic, muscular, you know, the very macho kind of being, you had, you know, you weren't considered attractive. And it was just, I grew up with that. And it took a long time because I never played sports. I never got in. I was not a very active child. I was always very bookish. I spent more time in the library or in the music room playing the flute. That's a long story, but
I played the flute too, and yeah. I am a librarian, so.
Oh, we're gonna be best friends then. And then in college, it was the same thing. I spent more time in the library. I spent more time hanging out with friends instead of getting into sports. And so when I hit my 20s. I started putting on weight and I started, you know, getting less of a beanpole. A couple of years ago, I had the realization that everything I'd thought about myself was just wrong, that I wasn't this failure as a person, as a human being, and started working on myself, working on my mentality. And it's only just recently that I've actually been able to look in the mirror and love the body that I have. And it's been a long journey and a lot of steps in between from where I started and to where I am now.
Well, I gotta say, from when I met you to where you are now, it has been a wonderful journey to watch. And I am really glad that you've been able to take the time to be here with us tonight.
It's my pleasure.
I'm going to introduce our last panelist, the ever amazing Q. So if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, darling, I would be much obliged.
Darling, I miss hearing words like darling and living in the Bay. I also miss thunderstorms. Southern thunderstorms in the afternoon. Badass. We don't get that here.
They are.
Or we're in the Bay. Photography prevents thunder. I don't know what it is. Anyway, hi, I'm Q. I identify as a boy. I identify as a hoe. My body positivity journey, it's kind of like, again, like a lot of other things in my life. I'm just plodding along, trying to live my life. When I first came out as gay, I was lesbian. The lesbians didn't like me very much. There were some, they were like, you are not one of us. Okay. So I tried being androgynous for a while. That didn't feel right. When I entered the leather community, being able to pick up the label for myself, a boy, was really awesome for me. It helped me just be. Like, I didn't have to take on the feminine characteristics of being a girl. And my body being the way it is, like, I'm a big person. I'm 245 pounds now, 5'7". I still think I'm pretty pudgy and all the things, but my body didn't shift in my 20s. I was a dumbass and got my first job at Wendy's when I was 15. So 2.5 years of eating chocolate Frosties with fries and with chicken sandwiches and with burgers. I was huge. So I've come down from that size. And it, in a way, the size helped protect me from like the average dude in my sphere of influence when I was younger. I didn't quite know why it was that I didn't really like all the boys. I tried valiantly to find my prince, and it never worked. And finding out I was queer, finding out masculine, and figuring all these things out, and joining the leather community were the things that helped me really embrace who I am. When I was going to goth nights somewhere, it was always, oh, the cute petite human that was being hoisted in rope and looking adorable. And people like, I can't really, I'm not sure if I can suspend you, and things like that. So, but I found like in the women's leather community, the dyke community that I've been a part of, I got the opportunity to have people just like, it didn't matter if I was wearing a jock strap and boots or a suit. People just applauded my body. They applauded me doing what I was doing no matter what. And it's an it was like the first time I'd ever had that sort of feeling, being on stage, doing stuff at IMSL. And
I mean, I would applaud your body.
Same.
Yeah.
I'm only seeing your face, but I'm already loving it.
Moving on. Going on stage, being a person of size, person of color, masculine of center, all the things that normally the regular outside world tells me are unattractive and not fitting for me, but feel the best for me, to have people in my community, in a community I belong to, lift me up in that way, to say, we like you just as you are, you sexy little beast. I don't think I'm a sexy beast. That's what they say. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of amazing, because I don't see myself that way. I'm just a boy trying to live my life and be a good human. And part of that means embracing myself, embracing my body and in the ways that it's imperfect and beautiful as it is. And showing other people, being my full authentic self, so other people can go, holy crap, there's a big fat black kid up there on the stage swinging his dick. You know, I want to be that role model for folks.
That mentality just, yeah, I love it. I love it, man.
And you said something that totally resonated with me, because people will compliment me or be like, oh my God, you're gorgeous, you're sexy. And I'm like, wait, what? But then in the same boat, when somebody tells me, oh, like, I've actually had people, somebody I was partnered with at one point, tell me, oh, but you really shouldn't do rope because it doesn't look good on you. You're too fat.
What? And, okay.
Yeah. My response was basically, go fuck yourself in my head. And, like, I'm going to go self-suspend and show you I can do this thing because my strength
is exactly what I did. When they told me they couldn't suspend me, I learned to self-suspend just for that reason. I'm like,
That is exactly what I did too. Yes.
I am glad that you all learned to self-suspend, because actually some of the most beautiful artwork that I've seen, hint some of the pictures of somebody on the panel, are actually of people that were suspended in rope. And it's been fabulous. But actually,
was that you? Was that you that was suspended in rope, or Daniel?
Yeah. That
was you.
That also a certain circus performer. Yeah. I am going to pull us back on track just a little bit and tell people why I am actually here. So this is actually going to be a little nerve-wracking for me. So just throwing that out there. I actually had a really hard childhood. My family wanted the perfect Southern Belle child. So golden curls, bright blue eyes, completely subservient, ditzy, followed those feminine roles. And they got me. And then they got my little sister, who was everything that they wanted. Growing up, I completely rejected anything that was feminine. I hated it because it was exactly what I was told to be. And I was punished for that. One of the clearest memories I have of that is being 19, and my family got me a Harry Potter cake, which everybody knows I love Harry Potter, but it was Gryffindor as a slight. and my sister was given a new car and a computer. So 19 days later on her birthday, she was then given a $5,000 shopping spree, also that they could prove the point of if you were what we wanted, we would celebrate that. Coming into the community and having that on my back, as well as having some severe sexual trauma, I also was incredibly heavy and I used food to like hide that. I actually ended up getting to like 330 pounds and I couldn't, I couldn't eat in front of people and I couldn't really talk about myself. And up until probably about a year or so before we actually did the panel in Florida, I could not look in the mirror and see anything other than a monster. So it's taken me a lot of time to accept who I am and be okay with different parts of myself and come to terms with the fact that it's okay that I'm different and it's okay that I'm non-binary and it's okay to be exactly who I am and have that be celebrated.
Autumn, I've been honored and blessed to be part of your journey as well. It's from when I first met you to today, it's just been amazing to watch you.
Thank you. Okay, tears, their thing. Let's not turn it into a thirst panel because
oh, sweetheart, I'm seeing nothing but just gorgeousness right here. So all around.
So apparently Frolicon's going to be interesting. And by the way, if you're not going, you are missing out. That is going to be Atlanta, Georgia, Easter weekend. Not that we're promoing or anything, but getting back on track, given that we've all had these incredible experiences with body positivities and having the rough past, you know, what would you all recommend to somebody who is struggling with body positivity?
Telling your parents that what they think of you is absolute garbage and you shouldn't believe a fucking thing they say.
I have a far more diplomatic approach because consider all the other things. Generally, when we're speaking, I'm a little older. I think I'm probably the oldest person on the panel. So the thing I like to remind people is do what you need to do in your own time as you feel safe enough to do it first. Mm. But fuck Instagram, fuck Facebook. You are beautiful. You're your own being and no one else is like you. They can't tell you how to do you, how to be you and who you should look like. Get to know yourself, love yourself, fuck the rest of the world. It's taking me this long to get halfway to that, but you know, just come up in a society that tells us that you have to look a certain way, be a certain thing. If you're born XYZ, you need to be XYZ. So helping people, I like to support people in discovering that there are other ways to exist, that you don't have to be the darling, because like, I'm the oldest of four girls. My poor mom. I'm sure she thought she was going to have somebody to help, like, braid the little ones hair and all that. I am not really going to. So be you. You know who you are at the time that you're in it. And allow for growth and change. We're raised one way. We meet friends. We want to be another way. And then as we evolve into different side of who we are, it's totally okay and valid to be different, to change how you feel or change how you see yourself and the world when you have new information. So that's okay.
It's absolutely okay. Okay, Blaine, Amok, what do you all feel about the subject?
When I was in college, I had a professor tell me something really cool one time about moving past like blocks. I studied poetry in university and they said, you know, you are what you surround yourself with. And I think reaching out to sort of finding your people that can reflect back body positivity at you, people that want to make safe spaces. I find that was kind of where the turning point for me started, was being around other people who like looked at themselves with like hard eye emojis kind of all the time. And I think making sure that I spend time figuring out ways to love myself, whether that is, you know, doing a face mask or you know, sleeping in a little bit longer or doing a dance class or even literally just looking in the mirror at my body and thinking nice things. It was just little simple things, but they feel like giant hurdles sometimes if you've always been told that your body is not a beautiful thing. I didn't learn to do those things until I saw other people doing them. And now I think one of the things that I would like love to do is to create safe spaces in places like Instagram or Facebook where people can post pictures of themselves and compliment each other and really kind of reflect that love back and forth, because we don't get it enough in the wider breadth of society, where people are telling us that only certain types of bodies look or are beautiful or are attractive or are desirable. And you know, we have to make our own spaces these days. I think every type of person really probably feels that way, but community is where it's at.
You can find me naked on the internet in a multitude of locations. And it's funny because when I'm not thinking about it, I can be naked and I don't care. Putting clothes on is actually really stressful, because even though I'm cis and I like simultaneously don't always feel like I'm femme enough or tomboyish enough, and I just have to stop listening to myself and like the monkeys in my head telling me different things and listen to the people who are close to me. Q was mentioning the leather community. I listen to my leather cousins and my leather brothers when they're like, no, you look amazing. Like, go do your shit. And I'm like, you're right. And that really, really helped me, because if I'm looking at myself or I'm looking at pictures or in the mirror, I'm going to see every single solitary little flaw. And they're not real flaws. They're just the flaws that I see in myself. But if I trust the people who love me and who care for me to, you know, say, hey, let's fix your skirt. Now you look great. Go do your thing. That's really strong, because it took me a long time to believe them. Because, you know, your friends are supposed to tell you you look amazing. But no, they're telling you you look amazing because you fucking look amazing. And the other thing is, even if somebody is up on stage, corseted with their boobs to their ears, or wagging their dick around looking badass, it doesn't mean that there's a part of them that isn't self-conscious about it, that isn't, you know, doubting. Sometimes the people who are out there and who are shining the brightest and who look like they have like the most confidence are also struggling with the exact same body issues that the rest of us are. It's just the facade they put on when they get out there.
Yeah.
And fake it till you make it can work for some people.
Absolutely. I know so many people who have such a strong influence in the community, and almost every single one of them that I've actually had like an in-depth conversation with absolutely has like doubts and insecurities and like real issues with their bodies. And speaking of that, that actually brings me to my next question for you all. So many people that I know that have issues with body positivity also have to deal with imposter syndrome. So I was wondering, yeah, like what you guys feel about that. How would you address that? How could you, you know, what advice would you be to help people get through that issue?
That shit is real, yo. Ooh. It happens. And the person that says that they don't have or don't feel imposter syndrome, stay the fuck away from them. Stay away. It's the thing where we're trying to be ourselves in a space, in a world that says we should be different. And when we start to receive accolades or anything, then we're like, oh God, people are going to find out. They're going to know that I'm not really this awesome human. Believe your people. Believe your friends. And if you ain't got friends that are supporting you in that way, get new fucking friends.
I made a really good post about this not too long ago. Not getting into the background of it, a lot of the people I hang out with are all highly educated, they're highly skilled. And I actually straight up asked my mentor, who has a PhD, dude, why the hell are you hanging out with me? I'm nobody compared to you. And he literally told me, dude, it's because you're you. You're you. You don't hide who you are. You are what you are. And that's what we want. That's why you are so important to us, is because you're you.
Us being your house?
My tribe, actually. My house, on the other hand. The lady of my house, actually, she and I had a really good conversation about imposter syndrome not too long ago as well, because she suffers from it. I can't give away too much about her, but she's, you know, highly educated. She has a successful career. And she literally looked me in the eyes and said, "Daniel, shut the fuck up. You're amazing. You're our family. You are part of us. We wouldn't have you any other way." And I think if your people aren't telling you the reason that they hang out with you, the reason they love you, the reason they want you around is because you're not you, if it's for some other reason, get the fuck away from them. Because if they want you to be something that you're not, they're not really your friends. They're not really your family. Your family, your friends, your tribe, your whatever should want you to be you. And that hit me so hard when, you know, this man that I look up to, this man that I respect, this man that I absolutely love and adore and admire and all the words said, "You're you." I'm starting to cry right now because of that, because it just hits so hard.
You're amazing and you deserve it.
One of the other things I like to say, I want to say about that is that when you're thinking about the, like, imposter syndrome and all the people and all of the things, one of the things I'd like to remind people about, and about being yourself, loving your body, flaunting, being as sassy, as happy, as femme, as butch, as whatever you want to be. There's someone else coming into our community who's really new, and they're looking for people like them. If we aren't ourselves, how will they know that they belong? That they found their people, they found their tribe, their whatever. If we aren't who we really are, how are people supposed to know that it's okay to be themselves?
That's absolutely true. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little teary-eyed too. Amok?
I recently had a discussion with my alpha about part of my identity, because I was really struggling with it. And he told me, if the voices are not telling you or fucking you, financing you, or feeding you, then they don't fucking matter. And that doesn't just go for outside people. Sometimes the voices in your head are saying the same thing, or your partners are saying the same things, and you have to step back and question it. So even if they are fucking you, feeding you, or financing you, sometimes you have to step back and go, what is the truth? Where is this coming from? Is it coming from a place of love? Is it coming from a place of control? Is it coming from a place of concern? Even when the fraud police are coming up, for me personally, a lot of times when that's happening, it's because I'm venturing into new territory. I'm pursuing something that, you know, might not necessarily be in my comfort zone. And so the voices in the back of my head, the fraud police, start going, oh, well, somebody's going to know. Somebody's going to find out you're not as good as you think you are, that you're not enough of this thing. And I have to sit back with myself and think, okay, so when I talk to my therapist, who's amazing, I talk about the rational amok and the irrational amok. And rational amok knows that I'm just overthinking shit because I'm doing something new and I'm scared of what might happen. I don't know where this is going to go. Irrational amok is going, you're a total failure and a fuck up and you're a fraud and everyone's going to know, because I'm doing something new and that's scary sometimes. So separating it out and acknowledging the fraud police are there because I'm doing something exciting and new, I can step back and go, okay, I hear you. I understand, irrational amok, that you are worried about what's going on because you're making this big jump into something new. However, you're fucking badass. You've done this so many times before with other projects, with other skill sets. I mean, go look at your pictures. You're badass. Get over yourself. Like, you're good. And like, just giving myself a pep talk and acknowledging the fact that those voices are there and they have a point, but it's not a rational point, and that's okay, to help me get past it is one of the things that I would recommend the most. Like, acknowledge what the police are saying, and then work on figuring out how to get past that.
I think that's wonderful advice. Blaine, do you have anything to add to that?
I think there's been a lot of really good advice. For me, like, the imposter syndrome always hits with presentation. Like, I've been a gender fluid or non-binary person since late teens. I think I've known that. But, you know, as sort of my transition has moved in a more concerted fashion in the last couple of years, I'm like constantly in this weird balancing act between how do I express the feminine parts of myself and still justify being a trans boy. And it's been kind of an interesting journey. And I think I've heard a lot of things like listening to your friends and maybe even physical reminders, like looking at pictures of yourself and being like, look how beautiful you are. Those kinds of things are really good to do. But yeah, I mean, imposter syndrome is like, that's definitely a thing. I think I'm always like concerned, like, am I fem enough for this? Or I'll do something, like I'll put makeup on to go out for a night out. And then just before I'm about to leave, I'm like, nope, I can't do it. I have to like take this off because, you know, being a mask of center person is safer because I won't be potentially not right off the bat misgendered as a cis woman. Or like, I don't have to explain myself. I don't feel like I have to explain myself constantly. So I don't know. I think like there was a lot of advice even just in this panel that I can take for myself regarding imposter syndrome. Some of the things like being a big bodied person in a world that prizes thinness, I just think that's silly because big bodies are so beautiful in so many different ways. And that imposter syndrome has not hit me there quite so much as it has with gender and presentation.
I want to jump in on something Lane said too. The being a bigger bodied person in a smaller bodied world is definitely something that I've had to deal with because of the fact that I do rope and I'm a circus performer. And people think that just because of my size, I can't do the things, or because of my size, that's why I'm unhealthy. And the reality is no, I have a genetic disorder that makes me super bendy. I'm like the most awesome, awkward X-Men you've ever met. But it doesn't matter. I could be 500 pounds or 100 pounds. My genetics don't get to change. So this is the body I've got. But this body can bend in really creepy ways and do strange things in the air in rope and also pick really heavy things up. The cover of this book might be fluffy and curvy and round. It's got a lot of muscle, and people don't look past what they initially see so often. I've met thinner bodied individuals who don't have nearly in the endurance for like shitty, terrible, wonderfully masochistic rope compared to a larger bodied. Like, I can do shit to myself in self-suspensions that legitimately have scared leaner body, what most people would think of as like a proper rope body. For those in the group, there were quotation marks. That is the thing, is people need to realize that the shape of a body doesn't necessarily identify who that body is or what that body is capable of doing.
Yeah. One of the things that I taught in when I taught rope classes for my local dungeon was it doesn't matter the shape of the body. It doesn't matter the size of the body. It doesn't matter the weight of the body. It doesn't matter any of that. I can suspend a 90 pound person the same way I can suspend a 900 pound person. It doesn't matter. And it's just disgusting to me that we have so many talented riggers that only want to tie up these teeny tiny little skeleton people. There's nothing wrong with, you know, being that small. There's nothing wrong with the body, plain and simple. Nothing wrong. But when you neglect other people just because, oh, I don't want to, or oh, it's unsafe. It's not unsafe. If you know what the fuck you're doing, you can tie up anybody.
Fixes are amazing. You can use physics with big bodies or little bodies or in between bodies.
The principles remain the same.
Right. And when you forget physics, bad things happen.
You can't ignore them.
There's also, I know plenty of smaller bodied or leaner bodied individuals within even the rope community. I don't think this was particularly a rope panel, but a lot of us are ropey.
Apparently.
one of my panelists, when Autumn and I did this previously, is what most people would think of as a tiny, like, toothpick style, adorable chick. Like, she's sexy.
Oh, yeah.
She's sexy. She's tiny. She's gorgeous. She's a model. She's struggled with her body for years. And it's, you know, just because she is that tiny body type you can tie up and throw over your shoulder and run away with, doesn't mean that they don't also struggle with issues, and that they don't also struggle with partners who have unrealistic expectations and don't communicate. Communication is such a fucking thing, people. Like, talk to your partners about your body and what it can do and what you're not comfortable with. The worst thing is when you're doing a scene with somebody and you don't realize they're really uncomfortable with a part of their body or a particular type, like, I'm not comfortable with my arms, and then you do something that really exposes their arm. Well, if they had told me, then I could have not done that, and it could have not been awkward and weird.
Yeah.
That is definitely true, and I'm sorry to pull this away from Rope, although it does have a lot of really valid points within a body positivity panel. I actually really love all of the advice that you guys gave for imposter syndrome, and I'm actually going to be using some of that myself. One of the other things I wanted to point out is, because a lot of people that I've met, and it's probably just because I do have a little bit of a switchy side to me, for service-oriented folks, or, you know, boys, or people that just kind of lean that way naturally, helping other people, teaching other people that it's okay to be who they are and to be themselves, has actually given me the tools to do more to help people with imposter syndrome. Funny enough, this morning, a friend of mine that I work with was just told that they got a promotion. And they took me outside and they were sobbing because they did not believe they had earned the promotion, and they were scared to death that once they took it, everybody was going to see that they weren't smart enough, they weren't qualified enough, they weren't good enough. And it was heartbreaking. And I had to talk to them about all of the amazing things that they had done at our job and all the things that, you know, was wonderful about them and how much I had seen them grow, you know, not just as a coworker, but as a friend, and how much they deserve that promotion. And it was so weird to be able to see all of those same insecurities from someone who really is at work, like, larger than life, and they own it, and they walk around and they have this confidence and they do know everything about our job. And it was good because I could see all those things that I could do to help myself. It was wonderful to be able to provide that service to help someone. And it was a beautiful moment.
I really struggle. Like, the word enough is such a hard word. Like, we aren't cakes. We aren't putting enough flour into the ingredient list to make sure the cake is fluffy. Being enough when it comes to our skill sets and our body and what we do is not something that's quantitatively measurable a lot of times. In some cases it is, but a lot of times it's not. And that's what the imposter police really hone in on for a lot of the people that I know, is that feeling of being enough.
I think we lost one of our panelists, but I believe they were saying that being good enough was an issue that they were having. So hopefully we will not experience any more technical difficulties and be able to bring them back in. But as we have been going for a little while, unfortunately, we are going to end up wrapping this up. So my last question to all of you is going to be, you know, with the day-to-day struggles that you have with body positivity and trying to overcome that and help other people do that as well, what would be the one thing, that one brief statement that you could give someone so that they could hold on to get through those issues, those day-to-day rough spots?
I would say the one, like, statement would be, you are enough.
Self-love is not an accident. You have to work at it every day, but it is probably the most worthwhile thing that you can work at.
I'm just like, I definitely want to piggyback off of the you are enough, especially as a service-driven human. I want to be all the things to all the people that I deal with that are in my sphere of influence. And it's really easy sometimes to throw myself into a project or a thing to feel like I'm giving and feel like I'm enough. And it's harder to take those moments and just shut all that out and stand like mentally with a mirror and go, you're enough. You're okay just the way you are. I don't have to have all the gear. I don't have to have all the skills. I'm a wonderful, valuable being. And when you think about it, not just in the context of your body, but you as a human, I think sometimes we take those things from society and crash them into ourselves. That's why we do things like, you know, disordered eating, or we do whatever it is that makes our bodies bigger or different or not as mainstream. Taking a moment to recognize that nobody else on this fucking planet has a map. Nobody else on the planet has a guidebook. Your guidebook is just as valid as anyone else's. And do what feels inherently good for you. Move your body in ways that people tell you you shouldn't do it. Move your body in ways that people tell you you can't. Love yourself, love your body, because it's important. No one else lives in this vessel but you. This meat suit, this flesh suit that you inhabit is yours alone. No matter what anyone else has to say about it or wants to do with it, it is yours. Do what you will.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Daniel, have you come up with one?
The one that kind of got me through a lot of things, and it's something that you and I have talked about, Autumn. The one that I've been repeating to myself like a mantra this entire last year. You are worthy of your own love.
Yes.
You are worthy to love yourself. And that is the one thing I would say to anybody struggling with their own body positivity, is you are worthy of your own love.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. Sorry, I'm all teary-eyed over here. And I'm actually going to close it out with an exercise that my best friend, Firechild, actually helped me come up with. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do if you have body positivity issues or imposter syndrome. But look in the mirror and talk to yourself. Even if you don't have access to one, carry a compact around and look at yourself and tell yourself that you matter. Tell yourself that you have worth and you have value. But most importantly, make sure you look yourself in the eye and say, I love you. Oh, sorry, I barely got through that. Okay. So
onion ninjas, man. Onion ninjas.
I know. Everywhere. Okay. All right. Thank you all so much for agreeing to do this. It was wonderful. You all are such amazing human beings. I love you to pieces. Thank you for being on KinkyCast. I hope you all have a wonderful night.
Have a good night, y'all.
Bye.
You have been listening to episode 272 of the KinkyCast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the KinkyCast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. The KinkyCast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of all our Kinky crew, I'm Max. Join us next week when we present 20 Years of Brutal Master.